on the line right now, somebody who's going to talk about all this, is Roger Blake. He's infrastructure director at Rail Future. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning.
So, how much of? I mean, I'm a commuter. Whereabouts do you commute to and from?
I no longer commute. When I did, fortunately, I was close enough to work that I could do it mostly by bike.
Good Lord. Whereabouts do you live? Do you live in London or the South East, or do you live elsewhere?
I'm in inner London.
In inner London.
Yeah.
Right.
So I recognise that my daily experience throughout my working life was not similar in any way to those who have to commute by rail every day.
Which of course, is me, right? And
yep.
I come in on Southwest railways. I think they're
okay.
Called Southwest Railways, not Southwest Trains now.
Yeah.
And there is no doubt that it is pretty much a nightmare. My question is, and the Labour Party have put together this these stats, why would nationalisation in any way help this, help the current position?
Well, as Rail Future, we're entirely agnostic about actually who owns the railways. Our focus is on the service that's delivered to the paying customer, such as yourself.
Right.
And we think that comes from good management and leadership, not just ownership. So while the railway at the moment certainly is not doing as much as it could to help champion its own cause, and the recent timetable kerfuffle has meant that the industry has let itself, never mind all its paying passengers, down very, very badly. It's got to step up. It recognises that it's in a retail service business and it needs to look at other people who provide good retail services as to how do they do it. So it's a ruthless, laser-like focus on customer service that, for us, has to drive improving the quality of passengers' everyday experience.
What I don't understand there, Roger, what I don't understand is that, okay, overcrowding has increased, but the reason it's increased is because capital cities like London now charge huge amounts of money to come into London by car, and secondly, because we have more employment today than we've ever had, and therefore people have to get to work. So,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't come as a surprise. What on earth can you do about this overcrowding? I suggest we have 24 carriages instead of 8, but of course we'd then need to build huge platforms. There would need to be a massive investment. Is that the answer?
Well, I think you've hit the key word there. It is investment, and it's sustained investment, because, you know, this retail service business is one that is got a heavy engineering base. It's capital intensive, and it takes time, sadly, for the investment that is needed in all the hardware to catch up with what is a nice problem to have in some senses, and that is seemingly unending growth in demand. I mean, it may have levelled off a bit here and there, and there are still all kinds of interesting questions to ask about why that is so, but fundamentally, using the railways is more and more people's first choice, if only it would deliver like it says on the tin. When it works very well. When it doesn't, it's a nightmare.
Yes, look, for me, in the earlier this year, it was the worst experience I'd ever had in my life. And I literally, you know, if I had any hair, I'd be pulling it out. So when you talk about investment, it's an easy word to use.
Yep.
Somebody has to pay for this, you know. I mean, the demands.
Sure.
I mean, we're going to have to put up taxes just to fund the NHS. There is only two kinds of people who can pay for this. One is the central government, and two, it's the commuter.
Right.
What kind of price increases would we be seeing if the commuter had to pay for the upgrades?
Well, I think this does get to the bone of the discussion about where does the balance of bearing the burden fall? You know, is it on the taxpayer generally, because there's no doubt that railways, like roads, like so many other public utilities, benefit the nation, the wider public generally, even people who don't use it either much or at all. Or should it be, as government decisions over a number of recent years have tended to lean towards, and that is, no, the travelling public should pay, you know, should carry a greater share of that burden, if you like, and that is why we see the annual ritual of the fare price increases coming through, and that always hurts. But you know, there's the cost of the industry itself in terms of the wage bill go on rising as well. So the costs don't ever seem to come down. Network Rail, in terms of how it spends the money it's given, needs to be constantly finding more efficient ways of delivering the hardware. But the message is that because more and more people want to use the railways, we have to go on spending to improve. And that does mean longer trains, which in turn means longer platforms. And the big ticket items are additional lines. And in London, you mentioned South West. A large part of that, we hope in the fullness of time, will be addressed when, if Crossrail 2 is to come forward.
Do you know what? I was saying the other day that HS2 is basically hitting the buffers right now, and they've delayed it for another year or so. I'm so pleased. A bigger waste of money I couldn't have thought of. And I'm not even sure that Crossrail 2 is the answer. I mean, Crossrail 1 has been, we've been absolutely deceived over when that was going to be, when that was going to be handed over, haven't we? I've been waiting, you know, I mean, it's a fantastic project, and now they're saying it's a year late.
Yep, it's a fantastic disappointment, as well as it'll be a fantastic achievement when eventually we get it. I mean, the Thameslink programme, some you included will doubtless remember the days when it was called Thameslink 2000. So it's a totally perilous process, pinning one's hopes on a fixed date and a fixed cost. I mean, one understands the pressures from all sides to, well, when is it going to open? How much is it going to cost? So you've got to come up with numbers, but then you just get hoist by them, because all too often we miss the target. And it's not just a problem with railways. This happens with building, dare I mention, aircraft carriers road schemes and so on and so on.
OK, Roger, thank you very much indeed. Roger Blake talking about what we need to do to start our trains arriving on time. He's infrastructure director at Rail Future.